layers of old patterns. They're designed to protect us, or they were. But when we're willing to start to shift and to feel into, where does our body flow? Where does the energy really move through it in a way where we feel love? Love for ourselves, love for our partner, love from the universe. But this is going beyond the concept into the feeling of it.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another episode. And I'm so excited tonight. I have a dear friend on. Her name's Lori Seymour. She's a 2-times best-selling author, host of the Wisdom Talk radio podcast, speaker and founder and CEO of the Baca Institute. And 20 years ago, she was honored to receive the stewardship of a special esoteric technology that accelerates the process of innovation and creation in individuals and groups. And I wanted to have her on because I really want to talk about, sometimes I get emails from listeners who are like, Sharon, you're always so upbeat, you know, it's, and, you know, I understand it's really easy to fall into a negative mindset with an autoimmune condition. I don't wake up every day feeling rosy chipper. There are days that I wake up and it's just like, I'm grateful that the body kept breathing. I get it. I understand. However, I found that maintaining a positive mindset really helps keep the healing going, even if sometimes it stalls out. So I get that. I just don't want to be one of those people that goes through life like reminds me of the Winnie the Pooh story, you know, Igor, go just poor me, woe is me. So I wanted to have Lori on because we're going to talk about using our own creative intelligence, our own creative expression to keep that innovation that, you know, I guess it's innovation. I don't know why the word popped out, Lori, but we'll talk about it. Innovation and keeping ourselves in a positive state of mind as we go through our healing journey. So let me get her on right now. Welcome, Lori. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm delighted to be here and delighted to take on this, what can be a kind of, a big topic to tackle.
It is a big topic to tackle, but I know you're up to it, dear. So, that's why I called. Because one of the things I want to talk to you about is, first off, a lot of people, when they hear things like creative intelligence or creative expression, will go, Sharon, I can't draw, or something along those lines.
Right.
But that's not how you define creativity. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. And because, you know what? I'm one of those people that would be the first one to say, I can't draw anything.
Oh, I don't know. Like a bird, you know, with this kind of the loop-de-loop, the half of an eight, you know, half of an eight symbols a bird, you know. I think we could all draw.
I don't consider myself, while I consider myself a very creative person, I don't consider myself creative if I'm thinking about being an artist. I'm an artist of life.
Oh, I love that. An artist of life. Perfect.
And I'm a creator of life. I love when I cook. I love to cook. I love to create different things, pull different things together that hadn't been created before. And that's as creative as my friends who are beautiful at creating a painting or singing a song or, you know, any of those things that I really can't do.
No, I'm glad you bring that up, though, because I think a lot of people get stuck in that. But let's talk a little bit. How do we be creative in our life, especially around the idea of maintaining a positive look, even when, maybe the doctors or other medical professionals kind of give us a negative outlook.
Well, I've been there. I've had autoimmune diseases. It's been a long, long time. And I remember, though, back very clearly that feeling of overwhelm and of, oh my God, this couldn't possibly be happening to me, and on and on and on. And really since that time, even at that time, I was able to work myself out of that, I have been involved for the last really close to 30 years with a way of connecting with my own inner guidance. And that's what I think of as my creative intelligence. It's that ability to be an innovator. You use that word. And I work with a lot of innovators around how do you connect with that part of yourself that has a brilliant idea, but when you're tired or you're overwhelmed or you're not feeling well, that's the last thing you want to really think about. The last thing maybe you feel like you can do is to take that idea that you've had and run with it and do something with it, create with it. But my feeling is, and my experience is over and over again, both with myself and with clients, is that when you stay aligned with your creative intelligence, when you go inside and you say, okay, what's next? How am I to work with this? You ask all the questions, and I teach people how to do that and how to listen for the answers. And then you, instead of saying, oh, I don't wanna, or be filled with a lot of doubt, say, okay, that's that part of me that's trying to show me which is the next step. Show me whether I step right or I step left. And be willing to move out with it. Because that willingness and that alignment is what keeps us focused on what's possible, rather than on, oh, I've gotten this diagnosis, or, oh, I feel, can I say crappy? Is that okay?
Oh, sure. We've said a lot worse.
Okay. Because yeah, there are those times, and then it's to, you know, settle yourself and take a few breaths and see what's emerging, because there's always something that's emerging that has that flavor of possibility, and we can focus there, rather than on that, oh, I'm tired.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I loved part about some notes I took here is this, what's next? Because oftentimes when you get a diagnosis, then someone, usually the medical professional, will proceed to tell you this prognosis that ends in usually not good news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so long term. At the point of the diagnosis, and all through my healing, this idea of, you know, what next made it simpler. It made it easy for me to figure out where, if someone said, if I just thought about, I want to heal, wow, that's a big tall order when you got several things going on all at once, where the what next, I like that. Let's talk a little bit about this concept of what next versus the other part of it where it just feels too huge.
I have always experienced that I want to say the energies or the universe work with me in a very particular, precise way. And that where I may get a vision of something that's way down the end, like, you know, me being healed or me, you know, standing up and giving a talk on what's most dear, near and dear to my heart. But there's all those steps in between. And our own inner guidance is just as relevant for that as it is for the big picture. And so if I go to my inner guidance, if I go to that part of me that already knows what's next, what I need to do next, what's the next step, but it's not there in my consciousness, and I just get really, really quiet. That's why I recommend times of meditation or of deep inner quiet, so that you can allow that part of you to surface that tells you what's next. It might not be what the medical doctor is telling you, or it might be that plus some other things, some specifics about how you need to take care of yourself, some self-care. Maybe it's even situations that you need to let go of. I had been diagnosed with Graves' disease a long time back. and a type of hyperthyroidism, for those of you who don't know what that is. And one of the things that I was doing at that time, I was in private practice, I was a psychotherapist, and you know, because you are always needing to be out there so you get new clients, I was always in touch with my referral partners. I was, you know, constantly having lunches and phone calls and just being out there in a way of staying in touch. And I realized that was depleting me at that point, and that I needed to get quieter and trust that I would still get referrals. I still kept my practice going, but that I didn't have to keep, you know, launching myself out there to do all of what I had been doing that were absolutely depleting of my own energy.
That's wonderful. And this idea of the inner knowing, sometimes with an autoimmune, as I'm sure you might be able to reflect back on, is this idea of not trusting it anymore, because I went through this phase. Luckily, it was a little short-lived because I have many friends like you who are kind of like pushing me, but that's okay. I mean, we need those. But this idea of sometimes it's easy to get stuck in, how do I trust it because my body's betrayed me?
Yes.
And, you know, we might put a big label around that, sort of like victimhood, but it doesn't even have to be, you've fallen all the way under the well of victimhood. It can just be feeling like, gosh, I don't know what to trust anymore. And let's talk a little bit about this ability to quiet the mind and get into that inner knowing when we're not sure we trust it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great question, Sharon, because that feeling of my body has betrayed me is so common, so familiar. I guess that's a better way to put it. It's that feeling of, because I want to be full and healthy and be able to do all that I could do, and now maybe I can't. If we could shift that from my body has betrayed me to my body's giving me all kinds of information, and I need to be interested and curious about what that information is, and then to learn how to decode it. Because it's not just like a pass fail or a trust, not trust. It's let me explore it. Let me go into it. Let me see this as life's feedback, because something is something I need to pay attention to. I need to pay attention. And this is my opportunity. It's, you know, it can be your body giving you that kind of feedback. It can be like a friend of mine who had three rear ends in a row, often while just standing still, I mean, in his car, stopped at a light or a stop sign. He was rear-ended three times. That's also a kind of life's feedback. And you can say, well, life's failed me. Now, wait a minute, what's that about?
Yeah, that one to me, it's sort of definitely that area of, okay, what's this trying to tell me?
Right. But we sometimes forget that our bodies are doing the same thing. And that it's not because we've done something wrong or we've been bad or that the universe is against us. Truly, I often find that it's because there's a bigger picture that we haven't been quite listening to or willing to step into. And where it feels like, well, how could I ever step into a bigger picture? I'm too exhausted. Really, it's not about like pushing more. That's the thing that the innovators that I work with often are doing. They're pushing. And that's the effect of not listening, not paying attention to that still quiet voice inside that says, hey, here I am, and I'm trying to give you some messages, but you've got to slow down. You've got to take a little time to pay attention.
That's true. And this idea of pushing, one of the things that just over the years I've realized in my work, that the projects I have to push usually end up being pushed all the way through to, I won't say failure sometimes, but just not what it could have been. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to that point in life. I was sharing with you pre-show here about some contracting work I'm doing, and got to a point where some of them just, you know, didn't work out. And instead of pushing, like, get back, I got to stay on schedule, I just said, okay. And within 2 days, someone else appeared that actually was more ideal. And I was like, that's an area where I probably would have pushed. like, hey, get back here. Let's work it out. Let's get it all going. And I don't know why. I just released, let it go. And within a couple of days, something better showed up. And that to me, similar to the rear ends where it's outside of yourself, are those moments of a greater awakening that allow me to do the internal work. Sometimes those things that are outside allow me to grow quicker and easier than the ones where I have to actually do the work myself.
So what was it though, Sharon? I'm really interested. What was it that, I know you're the interviewer and I'm the interviewee, but what was it that around this situation that had you kind of relax into, all right, see you later, bye to these
You
guys?
Know, I wish I knew, Lori. I mean, it's, honestly, when I got the call, I was upset. I was like, what? You can't do that. You know, sort of that righteous indignation, right? There was several minutes of righteous indignation. And I remember this is so unlike me saying, look, I'm so upset right now. I'm going to hang up and I'll call you back later. Mm. And I actually just went and made some tea. And then I called back within about 30 minutes or so. And I just said, okay, you go your way. I'll find a different way to get it done.
You created space.
Yeah, I created space. I didn't let any of that righteous indignation or anger take over. Mm-hmm. But I have to be honest, it was, I'll say, sort of a lifetime of letting little things go that led up to this. This wasn't some great revelation on my part where I was hit by lightning and all of a sudden let go. I wish I could say that, but I'm pretty sure it's just...
A process and a pattern. And we're always creating patterns. We're always dealing with old patterns, but we have the opportunity to create a new one.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that this one sticks, because I was really impressed with how other things opened up and other opportunities opened up. And as I said, in the long term, a better opportunity appeared and it's all going swimmingly and that's great. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was easier to see the pattern outside of me. And in that meantime, since that happened, I've been reflecting on the patterns inside me, but somehow it was easier to, at least that time around, to see it on the outside.
Yeah. I like to think of that as inner research. And I think of myself as an inner researcher. And actually the free gift that I have for your viewers is a book that actually teaches them about how to do that in a very fun way. You know, 7 days, 7 experiences of you being your own inner researcher and paying attention to your usual ways of responding to things, but also having the opportunity to try out flipping that on its head. And, you know, well, what's that like? And what do you notice? And, ooh, I noticed that I really want to get back to this way of thinking that controls everything. You know, I'm a controller, but if I just experiment and do a little of that pushing beyond my usual, what happens then? And what's it like? And what does it feel like in my body?
And I think for me, I'm not sure why. It was, like I said, it wasn't a conscious decision in that case to just say, look, I need some time, space. I'm hanging up now. I'll call you back shortly. It wasn't that moment of conscious thought, but now that it worked out the way it worked out, everything, it felt right to do it during that time. It's like I learned that pattern now because of the experience, the way that it unfolded. I know that next time that it happens, it's going to be much easier just to do it, something similar that seems to fit the right situation, is slowing it down, slowing my reaction down, as you said, giving myself some space and time to make the right decision. And I think that way about some of the healing choices I've made, where I've had various healthcare professionals get a little annoyed because I'll say things such as, do I have to make this decision like right now? Is it one of those where there are certain health decisions you got to make right now? And then there's others, a lot of times around autoimmune, where you have some time, maybe not a long time, but you have some time to say, let me think about it. And that ability to do this inner research. Now, I'm interested in the idea of inner research versus outer research, because I mean, I can think of things like how many times you get a medical thing and you write to Dr. Google and you see everything from A to Z, good, bad, crazy, not so crazy, you know, all sorts of things. So what's the difference between outer research and your definition of inner research?
I appreciate that question, Sharon, because Google knows everything is what I want to say on one hand, but Google only knows what it knows. It's like our head only knows what it knows. And there's a bigger information system than Google. And that is that's in ourselves. You know, that's the way in which the universe, the vastness of the universe, is always coming into us. We always have access to it. But do we stop long enough and learn how to go into that place where we're communicating and receiving from the universe, from that endless resource, really, that endless resource, what it is we're needing in this moment? Because, you know, life is so full of mystery. And I have finally, in these last number of years, allowed myself to open to that which my head doesn't know already. And that's that part of us, that intuitive wisdom, that innate intelligence. Sometimes we get it from, you know, what we could call a gut instinct. But if we start to refine gut instinct, we start moving into a whole other way of operating with life. And we start moving into creating where our attention is going, which is what we want for our health, our well-being, our success, and moving away from the things that weren't working. Because we don't have to keep rehashing those things. We already have done that. We've already experienced it. It's like being willing to shift and let the energy move into something that feels very new and also possible, even if it feels like, how could I possibly? And that's the self-doubt. Mm. But let's play with that. Let's play with that. It's like you did something different. And then the feedback that you got in your research was, oh my goodness, look what happened. I got somebody who was so much better for my needs and at a lower cost. That's something to celebrate.
Yeah, it stuck. One of those examples that sticks. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Lori some more about this gut instinct knowing and how do we know that it's not just repeating an old pattern. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Lori Seymour. And we've been talking about this idea of our creative intelligence, that inner knowing, and how do we tap into it, understanding that so we can innovate in our lives and create new and ways of well-being and health and wellness and all sorts of great peace and satisfaction in our lives. So, Lori, we were talking about, as we had to take that quick commercial break, it piqued my interest was this idea of gut instinct. Oftentimes, my very first response is an old pattern or same old. And through your trainings and others, I've learned to do things like ask myself the same question a few times and allow a different answer to show up. So I'm making sure that it's not the easy old, I'm not falling into the easy old pattern. Let's talk a little bit about knowing gut instinct versus just responding to old patterns.
And our gut instinct is sometimes the old pattern.
Sometimes.
So there you go. What my research has shown is that it is, and this may sound a little funny to your listener, I don't know. It's the heart center that knows truth. It's that part of us that we can relax into and get to know, but get to become familiar with, so that when we hear something, when we read something, we have a feeling in our body, and that's the feeling body. And I work a lot with people on getting them familiar with what's happening in your body so that you can start to tell the difference between something that's an old pattern, something that is that part of that critical part of you, and that is still old pattern, or something that is really what I can only call that feeling of truth. It's something that has that feeling of truth. And one of the ways that I have found to tell the difference is that when something is of truth, there's a feeling of flow in the body. There's a feeling of ease. It's like when you're fighting with your partner and, you know, you both have your positions and you're grappling away. And I know I can get into that with my husband. And then something in me will, there'll be like an aha kind of thing. I'll recognize that there's something that is beyond what I've been saying. And when I say that out loud, my whole body relaxes. And I know that no matter whether he hears it or not, I have just come into a place of what feels like truth for me. It's like something be underneath all the levels and layers of old patterns that are just there. And, you know, they're designed to protect us, or they were. But when we're willing to start to shift and to feel into where does our body flow, where does the energy really move through it, and in a way where we feel love, you know, love for ourselves, love for perhaps our partner, love from the universe. They're concepts, but this is going beyond the concept into the feeling of it.
I love that, and I've been able to do that myself, but reflecting back, or the little person on my shoulders saying things like, wow, that feels really vulnerable. That feels really scary. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that you have for us to use this creative expression part of us that, okay, so maybe I'm willing to feel it, mm-hmm. but now you're asking me to act on it, Lori?
But that's part of the research, you know, and it may be not something you have to tell someone else, but it may be you get to try out, you know, I had a sensing about something. I remember a long time back, my daughter was little and I was with a friend and my daughter was playing with one of her very precious Christmas ornaments. And I had a feeling I needed to really take that out of her hands, and I didn't do it. I, you know, that was that little person on my shoulder that said, oh no, just let it go. It's okay. And she dropped it and it broke. Mm. And my friend, who was very attuned to, actually, she was the person I learned about this from, about how to follow this, said kind of like, didn't you know? And I did. And it was that was really important there. Not that she broke the ornament, but that I didn't act on what I knew. And that was one of those times of like, oh, okay, when I have a sensing about something, it's okay to act on. It's okay to trial, you know, do a trial balloon. I could have gone and said, hey, let's look at that together. I didn't have to grab it out of her hands. I could say to a client, I have this feeling about something. Let's try this out. We don't have to risk life and limb. You know, we can take baby steps, because our creative intelligence wants only what is best for us. That part of us is not going to push us into something that is not right for us and right for the whole. But we might need to take a little while to come to trust that. For me, it was how much doubt, self-doubt I had over the years. And that was built, you know, from early in my life on, that kind of self-doubt. So for me, it took a lot to quiet that part of my thinking self, to go with something that felt like it was arising from a deeper place within me.
Beautiful. That brings back a thought when we were, the one that always comes to mind, whenever I get that inkling and then there's a secondary moment of should I, shouldn't I act on it or whatever it is, there's always this moment of, okay, well, I'll call it the intuitive hit, and then should I, shouldn't I? This was several years ago where I was driving and I kept hearing this voice 3 or 4 times, get in the other lane, get in the other lane. Mm-hmm. I looked over my shoulder, it was a little crowded, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, that's okay here. Mm-hmm. And then I was one of the participants, I was hit from the rear, but it was a 5-car pilot. And so every time now that I hear that little voice, like get in the other lane or whatever, I immediately act on it. It yes. was one of those where I was, there is not a moment of should I, shouldn't I anymore. That's right. It's just like, that was that voice, and I remember the tone, the tonality, the whole thing. And when I hear that now, it's just, yeah, okay. And in fact, that happened this morning. I was coming back from a meeting, and I heard one of those little voices, like, do this. And I was like, yeah, okay. Even if it, you know, it was going to take a little effort to get it to happen, I was like, yep, okay. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened, thank heavens. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not like you then all of a sudden see the accident in the lane next to you. That's not how it works most of the time. But the idea now that the new pattern's been ingrained in me when I hear that voice, and especially mm-hmm. those moments that in my mind the voice is, it's sort of like a warning system. It's those warning systems of, which is a different voice than sometimes my creative expression, where I have multiple options. It's like it's the slow-mo where I'm trying to make a decision, and it's more in slow motion. I have multiple options, where the other voice is more like, yeah, move now.
That's because the timing is essential.
Exactly.
But I think it all comes from that same kind of place and that same part of us. And when we might have different creative options, it's which one really feels most centered, not easiest. It may be the one that feels the hardest, but the one that you might feel your heart kind of go ping and sort of open up or vibrate, you know, where you feel a kind of resonance. The others might make more sense to you or sound better, but that doesn't make it right for you.
Or your friends say it sounds better. Maybe you're right. Asking around and you'll get all sorts of rationales based on other people's experience that all of a sudden becomes your rationale for doing something.
Yeah, and we're all such unique individuals. It doesn't mean we can't do the outer research and get lots of good input from others. That might lead us to ask certain questions we might not have thought to ask. But what we can do, and this is a little bit of a stretch, but I still feel like it's worthwhile suggesting, is to do a little writing. Like to take a piece of paper and think of your pen or your computer, if you want to do it on a keyboard, as the witness. And write a question like, what am I needing to know about X? Or what's my next step with Y? And just first thought, best thought, just do a little, what we could think of as automatic writing, just letting your pen write, letting your fingers go across the keyboard. and then setting it aside and going back to it later on, breathing, letting yourself relax. Again, feeling yourself in your heart center, not with your energy in your head. Let me analyze this, but let me feel it. And then reading it aloud. Whatever you've written, don't judge it, and just see how it feels. And you may discover that your inner knowing had a sensing that is really going to surprise you.
Mm, yes, absolutely. And I like writing. Sometimes I like to do it in a journal. What I like about my journal is I always write on the right-hand side, and I go back, leave the left-hand side blank, and then I can go back and write what's changed on the left-hand side after a period of time. And then after a while, you begin to see patterns of your own inner patterns that maybe you're not aware of. It's a great way to see patterns if you're going back. And now in the case of where we were talking about this writing, maybe you need to make the decision in a quicker time. But what I like doing about in the journal where I'm writing on the right-hand side and leaving the left for later times is being able to go back over a longer period of time and say, oh, there's that pattern. There is that pattern arising again. Yeah. Or perhaps as I'm thinking of the new thing and I'm reflecting on the things that have passed, I'll go, oh, I think I'm falling into that pattern. Or yeah. I'm able to break free of that pattern at that moment because I'm reminded, that's one of my patterns.
And they're usually patterns of some kind of self-protection.
Oh, we didn't learn our patterns for no reason.
Right. At some point. But, you know, the saber-toothed tigers aren't around anymore. You know, our bodies may be reacting with that same level of intensity of run, get out of here, or throw up a big defense. And it may stop you from being able to have what you really most want.
I shared with, we had Gary Stewart on not too long ago, and I shared this with him, but I think it also fits here, is this idea of when we're talking about patterns. I was at a holiday event a couple of months ago, at large family gathering, friends, not just family, but friends and things. And from all walks of my life and all ages of my life, shall I say, some people know me a long time, others not so long. And I sat there just off in the corner and watched. And every so often I'd go, oh my gosh, that's where I learned that family pattern from.
I think Gary had some really interesting things to say about that.
Yes, he did. But for me, it was very insightful if just to play that game with myself going, I get it now. I see where that pattern, you know, has come through the culture that I grew up in or this or that, that type of thing, which is always, for me, helpful when I understand where it came from. You know, okay, well, that I needed that in my childhood. Okay, yeah, I needed that in my childhood, but I'm not a child anymore. I don't need that anymore. That can stay in the past.
And those are also the kind of things that extend into how do we try and create or how do we innovate? You know, what's my way, my typical way of doing that? And it may be something that doesn't exactly fit who we really are. So I created recently a What's Your Creative Innovator style quiz to help people get to know, you know, how is it that I typically, in a pattern kind of way, typically try and do that? And is that standing in my way? Is there a way that really suits me better and that I'm not letting myself tap into so that creating could become effortless and fun and really in flow?
What are a couple of questions we should start to ask ourselves if we're wanting to expand our creativity and expand that creative intelligence and really go, okay, I'm tired of the old patterns. Let's innovate some new ones.
Ooh, good question. Let's see. One question I might ask of myself is, what excites me the most? What excites me in life? Am I more drawn to being with other people and coming up with a great idea? Or am I happiest sitting on my workbench and tinkering with my creations? And there's a few other ors, you know, those are only two options. Where am I most comfortable? And where am I most drawn? Because where you're most drawn may not be where you're most comfortable. And yet, it may be the place that you could become comfortable. Not comfortable in the way of static, because change is inevitable, and we need to be willing and able to step into change. But that place where we get to experiment. So what would be an area that I feel excited about, and yet maybe I have a little trepidation about too?
It's interesting you bring up the word comfort. I was talking to someone recently about this, just the idea of decision-making on a different level. But one of the things that came up in the conversation was this idea of comfort. And the conversation was around, am I more comfortable, I'll say in air quotes, taking the risk to do what I want to do? Or am I more comfortable because I don't want to upset status quo? My partner will say something negative to me, my children, my work partner, whatever. Mm-hmm. There was some conversation around what is comfort and when do we give up our own internal knowing of comfort to maintain an external comfort, if that makes any sense. There was all these conversation around this idea of, well, you know, that sounds like a great idea, and how am I going to explain it to, you know, whomever the other outside parties are?
Right. If you're feeling like this is a great idea, you could go back into that place of inner guidance and ask, how am I to present this to my partner, my children, my significant other? You know, what's really my next step with it? Because we are already then creating, when we've gone out to onto an edge, a creative edge, where we're excited to buy something, but then, you know, immediately we've got that, oh my God, kind of feeling along with it. What if, and oh, I can't bear the thought of. It's then we've gone into our head. We've gone from the place of connecting with our own creative heart into all of the old patterns, all the old fears. And so just know that, first of all, it's like, oh, wait a minute. It's like having some employees that really need to be fired. And I think of them as the thoughts of self-doubt and the what ifs, and I couldn't possibly, this is too big. Because really, when I am most full with something and I start to share it, I find that other people, if I'm really there in the energy of it, other people start to respond to me and they get excited with me. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. And I know that. And then I have to take a breath and stay connected with myself. And that's a lot of what I teach people how to do, is how do you stay connected with yourself? Because everything and its grandmother is ready to, you know, perhaps co-opt that or get in the way of. And all of that really is a reflection of our own concerns and our own old patterns. It's not any more the truth than if it were your head saying those things.
True. Now we need to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Lori some more here. One of my questions that came up on that is this idea of staying connected. Well, I'll talk to her about that in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Lori Seymour from the Baca Institute. 20 years ago, she was honored to receive the stewardship of a special esoteric technology that accelerates the process of innovation and creation in individuals and groups. Now, Lori, one of the questions that came up for me was this idea of, you said, stay connected to. Now, I don't know if I'm just coming from my own thing. It's always, not always, I'll say that. I don't like always and never, but it consistently tends to be, I'm always coming back. When we say stay connected, I find that I'll wander afield and have to come back, wander afield to come back. Is that like normal or is something wrong?
Yes.
Oh, Sharon, definitely something's
okay.
wrong.
That's what I thought. Okay, we're all good then.
No. The truth is that we're always coming back. It that's the journey. And while, you know, you mentioned just now again that in my part of my bio about the 20 years and this esoteric technology, really that all seats in my 35 years of being a psychotherapist, being a solutions engineer, being a spiritual teacher, being a trainer and a guide. So no matter in what, which of those places, that experience of, I forgot. It's like for a moment, I forgot who I am. Now that moment might have been 10 hours or 10 weeks. It doesn't matter. Instead of being judgmental about ourselves, it's that recognition of, I forgot. Because that's all it is. It's a moment of forgetting. And take a deep breath. Take a breath. And I think of the breath coming into the heart center, the center of my chest, and just filling up my whole chest cavity. And with that, I connect back in. It doesn't have to take a long time. It doesn't mean we have to go and do battle with our patterns, because we don't. That's the beauty of this, is that we could become aware of it, and then we can shift. We can shift in that way of simply coming back home, coming back into ourselves. There's this fire engine out in the traffic outside. I don't know if you can hear, but it's like an underscore.
Yes. I say like alarm, awareness here. I like that underscoring. One of the things that came to mind was this idea of when you said we're always coming back and knowing and giving that it can be a short time period of time or a long period of time. And one of the things that has always bothered me is somebody will tell these old wives' tales that like it takes 21 days to change a habit, takes this or that. And in my experience, not only with myself, but a lot of the work I do in the world, is it only takes a moment to create change, and including a habit change. There are many times in my life where there's been something happen, a flash of insight, whatever it was, where I never did the old pattern ever again. And it wasn't taking 21 days to change my thoughts around it. So I'm not a believer in this idea of an X number of time to change a habit, that really it just takes a decision.
It takes a decision. And it takes a moment sometimes of just a breath. You know, people say, well, how can I do that? How can I do that when I'm out in the world? I don't want to take time and go and meditate. You know, I have people that come twice a week to do a short meditation drop-in with me. And I've been doing this for over 3 years, but it's like the practice of kind of creating that channel or that pathway where you remember very quickly. And so you can be in the moment in a board meeting and no one knows if you're there, and you go and you just take a breath, and it's a conscious breath. And with that is this insight and awareness. And boy, that pattern has changed in that moment.
What's interesting about breath that I know you've seen in your community groups that you work with is oftentimes me deciding to take that breath not only shifts myself, it just may be my own internal, but I've seen it shift entire groups where by slowing down my breathing, I'll take a nice deep cleansing breath. And part of that will be, okay, my decision, I just need to slow down my breathing because I'm starting to breathe in fight or flight, kind of, you know, get too activated here. I don't do it out loud like that in a large group, by the way. I mean, that might be a little strange, but I do a nice deep cleansing breath. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to just continue to slow down my breathing, consciously think about slowing down my breathing. I've noticed how it can change the people next to me too. All of a sudden, everything begins to slow down.
Yes, that's a great point, Sharon, because we're working with the field then. And so much of my research is about how do we impact others via the field, and how are we receiving via the field? I mean, the energetic field that's around everything, that the whole universe is comprised of. And so if we change ourselves, we're not only slowing down our breathing, but we're actually becoming conscious. We're making a decision then to be aware. And the ripple effect of that just goes about through the whole group. And I know that the way you are in your work with groups is you're able to impact in a very, very big way.
Thank you. Thank you. That's part of my life work. And I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. And we're down to the last 4 minutes, Lori. I cannot believe time flies when I'm with you, my friend. What final thoughts do you have? And then tell us about the book you mentioned and the quiz you mentioned and all that good juicy stuff.
So let's see. I think I'd like to leave your listeners and viewers with this thought that the inner part of us that knows, that inner wisdom, that what I call the inner compass, is real. And it's not just a metaphor. It is a real aspect of how our physical bodies, our emotional bodies, our spiritual bodies are created. We are part and parcel of the energy of the universe. And we have an option about learning how to work with that effectively. And so the free gift of seven ways to get more connected, feel more connected, and, you know, do your own inner research is available. I said it's 7 days, just quick kinds of fun exercises to be able to access your own inner knowing. And the quiz is about discovering what your creative innovator style is, so that you can discover what might be standing in your way of creating and bringing your idea from just that idea place all the way into manifestation.
So what's the web address? Where do we find them?
My web address is www.thebaca, and that's B-A-C-A, institute.com. And you'll find everything there.
Fantastic. We'll have the BACAInstitute.com up on our website, understandingautoimmune.com. And thank you so much, Lori. Lori, that's everyone. That's Lori Seymour from the BACA Institute, sharing all about innovation, creation, and our creative intelligence. Have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another exciting new episode, as well as pop over to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's at Understanding Autoimmune. All three of them have the same ending there. Twitter is Understanding Autoimmune, Facebook, and Instagram. Pop over there to see what's happening. Drop us some comments. Connect with us. And also, the website is also understandingautoimmune.com. If you want to hear more about Lori, see more about Lori, and or see understandingautoimmune.com. Everyone, as I said, have a great week. Join me next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.